Good afternoon and welcome to the EcoNews Report. I'm your host this week, Scott Greeson, Director of Friends of the Eel River. The EcoNews Report is an exclusive feature of KHSU brought to you by the North Coast Environmental Center, publisher of our regional environmental newspaper, the EcoNews. Don't forget, you can find this show and other KHSU public affairs shows on the audio archives page at khsu.org. Today, my guest is David Keller, my colleague at Friends of the Eel River. He's our Bay Area director and a veteran of decades of work on water issues in the Northern Bay Area. Welcome to the EcoNews Report, David.
Hey, good afternoon. Good to be here with you.
David, today we want to talk about the Russian River and the Eel River and the water that is being taken from the Eel River into the Russian River via the two dams on the main stem Eel River that we're looking to see removed in the hopefully not too distant future. But a lot of this really revolves around what's happening in Sonoma County with the Sonoma County Water Agency, which manages much of these flows. Why don't you just start off by outlining for folks who here in Humboldt often don't really have a clear picture of how those two river systems are connected and what the consequences are for both the Eel and the Russian.
Sure. So we have the diversion from the Eel River going back to 1908 when a power company decided that they could plumb the Eel River into the East Branch Russian River above Ukiah as a gravity drop, put a power plant at the bottom, and hey, it's free water and they had power. But as the Eel River would go into much lower flows towards the end of the summer, they really said, hey, wait a second, we're not getting all the power we want and let's build another reservoir. So that's Lake Pillsbury, which was completed in 1922 to provide all year water flows from the Eel River to the Russian River. So they built a power plant at the bottom of the tunnel. They had what turned out to be a lot of free water. And with that free water came the possibility for a lot more agricultural and then urban development along the Russian River because they get this powerful new source of water that didn't dry up in the summer because of Lake Pillsbury storage and made the Russian River into an all-year river. Now, needless to say, that changed a lot of things on the Russian River side. More and more agriculture sprung up, trees, vineyards, hay crops. With that came the virtually unlimited supply of water for the growth of cities downstream. The biggest one, of course, is Santa Rosa and the other cities running from Ukiah all the way down to the mouth of the Russian. That extra supply of water came with some problems in the Russian River side, which is that the Eel River, of course, was being drained, and that was of no help to the fisheries in the Eel River. But the powers that be on the Russian River side didn't really care about that. They didn't care if the Eel River's fisheries, which were the most abundant on the Pacific side of California, they really didn't care. So that went along, and for another 45 years after the World War II, the interests on the Russian River side decided they needed flood control and more water to store in the Russian River. So in the early 50s, Lake Mendocino was constructed, that's Coyote Valley Dam, to store water for summer release in the main stem Russian River. As a part of the conditions for approving that dam, the State Water Resources Control Board, Department of Water Resources, put some conditions on the main beneficiary of Lake Mendocino, which is the Sonoma County Water Agency, which owns 87% and paid for 87% of the storage in Lake Mendocino. The Mendocino County Russian River Flood Control and Irrigation District has the water rights for 13% of what's stored in Lake Mendocino. Lake Mendocino was purportedly built as a flood control project, but of course its main purpose is to supply additional water for consumption during the dry season on the Russian side.
That's not all that unusual for Western dams. We often see the dam that's built as the main stem Eel River dams were to provide irrigation water and a little bit of power get licensed as hydroelectric facilities, while other dams, which also are constructed to provide irrigation water, get licensed as flood control facilities. What dictates how they're considered is mostly who builds them.
And the politics of the moment, yes.
Yeah, but if it's Army Corps, it's a flood control dam. If it's Bureau of Reclamation,
right,
it's power dam. But both produce both all over
yep.
the West, yeah.
Yeah, so both in tandem, Lake Pillsbury and to a lesser extent Van Arsdale on the Eel River, although they're built for power, there really was a water transfer, and that's really the value of the project. It was the value of the project to the Snow Mountain Power Company, and it has certainly been the value of the project for PG&E, who purchased the project in 1927 or 1929. Likewise, the value of Lake Mendocino, there's a flood management component to it, but the real value, the real reason why the Sonoma County Water Agency and the Mendocino County Flood Control District put their money into it was so that they could have water during the summer. And with that came a real proliferation of agricultural irrigation, and it allowed the cities to have a reliable source of summer water.
So those sound like good things, David. We've got more agricultural productivity. We've got people who can live in cities and towns in beautiful parts of California. What's the problem?
Well, free water is kind of like a narcotic. You know, you get addicted to it, and you don't really care about what else happens to your health or the health of the river. The health of the fish in either river becomes secondary to the value of this free water. In 1986, the original conditions on flows in the Russian River as a part of the water rights held by the Sonoma County Water Agency were changed, and that became known as Decision 1610. And that set minimum flows in the Russian River that had to be achieved at various times during the dry season for the sake of in-stream use, meaning fish. And so the Sonoma County Water Agency became responsible for releasing enough water out of Lake Mendocino at various times of the year above and beyond the demands for that water for agricultural irrigation and for the cities and for any domestic use along the Russian River. Those minimum flows in stream became the responsibility of the Sonoma County Water Agency.
So let me get this straight. In 1986, the State Water Resources Control Board said to the Sonoma County Water Agency, you've got to manage the Russian in a way that keeps water in the river at least at a minimum flow level during all times of the year. Previously, it was running dry or, you know, too low for fish.
When the dam was built, there was an earlier set of conditions for flows in the river during the year. That proved to be inadequate. My understanding is that State Fish and Game said those numbers are not sufficient to keep fish alive and thriving in the Russian River. So at their behest, the minimum flows in the Russian River were revised, and that became Decision 1610 in 1986.
So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the Eco News Report. My name's Scott Greeson. I'm the director of Friends of the Eel River, and I'm speaking today with my colleague David Keller, who's also our Bay Area director. And we're talking today about the pending decision on reducing flows in the Russian River Basin. So David, bring us up to date with what's on the table now in terms of changes to those minimum flow requirements for the Russian River. Why are they being changed again?
Okay, well, let's see. The Russian River wound up with diminished salmonid stock, and it was dropping off rapidly, much as it is in the Eel River.
When we say salmonid, we mean coho and chinook and
steelhead. The National Marine Fisheries Service is responsible for threatened and endangered species. Three species in the Russian River became listed under federal law, coho, chinook, and steelhead, much as they are in the Eel River.
Right.
And the National Marine Fisheries Service took a look at the conditions in the Russian River and determined that the operations of the flood control project and the water supply pool operated by the Corps of Engineers and the Sonoma County Water Agency was threatening to jeopardize continued existence of steelhead, coho, and chinook. And so the federal, under the Endangered Species Act, the biological opinion that was put together by the National Marine Fisheries Service determined that some aspects of the flood control and water supply operations threatened to jeopardize steelhead and coho. Chinook was okay under those operations. They didn't look at any other conditions other than the releases of water into the main stem Russian, when they happened, how much they were, as well as conditions in Dry Creek, which is where Lake Sonoma is, a huge huge reservoir built in the 70s and early 80s by the Sonoma County Water Agency. They determined that the flows in the Russian River were too high for juvenile steelhead and coho. The flows during the late spring through the fall had to be reduced. Basically, the faster-moving water was making it difficult for young fish to thrive, to be able to hang out in refugia as they grew. The concern was they were getting washed out. And that, of course, was problematic in the Russian River because so much of the habitat in the Russian River has been eliminated over the past 100 years by channelizing the river, by gravel mining, by deforestation, by armoring the banks, by cutting off access to tributaries through lowering the bed as a result of gravel mining. So the only conditions that were picked up by the National Marine Fisheries Service were the flows and the temperature, which is, in this case, largely dependent upon flows. All the rest of the conditions were not considered in this decision about how to keep the fish from going extinct in the Russian River.
But the bottom line is the federal biologists at the National Marine Fisheries Service said you need to reduce the flows in the Russian River in order to provide better habitat for the fish that do survive. Leaving aside all the rest of those habitat issues you listed, this seems a little counterintuitive, but I've described this in a kind of shorthand as treating the Russian River as an irrigation ditch turns out not to be very good for fish. If you just keep water flowing through a simplified system, it doesn't necessarily equal good habitat for salmon and steelhead. Is that accurate?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what the biological opinion put forth was that the Sonoma County Water Agency had to reduce summertime flows in the river and in Dry Creek, which is about 14 miles potential habitat from Lake Sonoma until Dry Creek joins the Russian River. They had to restore 6 miles of habitat in Dry Creek. They had to redo how the mouth of the Russian River is treated to essentially help create a freshwater lagoon during the summer. They had to really help fish spawning and habitat in several streams as well as in Dry Creek and in the main stem. So all of that meant that the flows in the Russian River have to be reduced, according to the National Marine Fisheries Service. So let's take a quick look at the decision-making process.
Before we do that, let's just observe the straightforward fact that if flows in the Russian River need to be reduced in order to better protect the surviving but grievously threatened coho and steelhead, and we're concerned on the Eel River side that water is being taken from the eel to supplement Russian River flows that we really need in the eel, this seems like kind of a win-win. We can stop diverting from the eel to the Russian, and that seems like it would be consistent with what the National Marine Fisheries Service is suggesting needs to happen in terms of lower flows in the Russian, right?
You're talking too logically for water law and
okay.
for water practices.
Why doesn't that make sense from the Sonoma County Water Agency's perspective?
Because, you know, the Sonoma County Agency has this big pool of water up in Lake Mendocino, and they want to be able to use it. They don't want to give up any of their water rights up there, and they don't want to give up their ability to manage Lake Mendocino for even more water demand 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. They want to hold on to as much water as possible. That's the law of water in the West, which is to get your fingers on it and never let go.
Right.
So they want to remanage the storage in Lake Mendocino to be able to have more water available for consumption, agricultural and municipal, and be able to extend that more reliably over the course of the dry season. So they're thinking 20, 30, 40 years out, not necessarily what do they need, but what do they want?
Right.
And of course, the cities, which is where the political power is and the monetary power is, want as much as possible, particularly for vineyards, which is now close to a $1 billion crop in Sonoma and Mendocino. They want to be able to control and have access to as much water as possible. So the thought is not, well, we're going to reduce the flows in the Russian River and leave the rest of it in the Eel River. It's going to be, we're going to reduce the flows in the Russian River and keep as much water in Lake Mendocino as possible later into the season.
And use that for future development and growth.
Exactly.
So it seems pretty clear that setting aside the interests of the urban areas and the agricultural developers, there are other folks in the Sonoma County area in the Russian River watershed who are quite concerned that lower flows might not actually be good for fish and are likely to impair their recreation, like canoeing on the Russian River, popular activity. How do we square this?
Well, yeah, Russian River Keeper and several other organizations are quite concerned that lower flows as prescribed by the National Marine Fisheries Service in the Russian River Biological Opinion would lead to more and more algae blooms, would lead to polluted water quality and a loss of habitat, and that the numbers are actually too low for fish. So there is a large pushback from people, particularly in the middle to lower reaches of the Russian River, saying that the numbers that the National Marine Fisheries Service put out were not realistic, and they actually want to see flows that are greater than what have been recommended or required by the National Marine Fisheries Service. The nice thing about working as friends of the Eel River with organizations like Russian River Keeper is that we both recognize that the Russian River is abused badly, and it's being abused by withdrawals of water from people who don't have water rights, people who are taking in excess of their water rights, people who are taking more water than they are supposed to be taking during the drier season, taking water more than is legally available without bypass flow requirements in their permits and licenses that require that a certain amount of water always stay in the Russian River past their point of withdrawal. We find that the Sonoma County Water Agency is releasing water from Lake Mendocino to maintain their in-stream flows when that very same water is being pumped out for frost water protection by the vineyards or for heat protection at the vineyards. Instead of remaining in the Russian River, that water for the fish and for in-stream use for the public trust, which is what it's supposed to be, that water is being withdrawn as well. So the water agency has to release more water from Lake Mendocino to make up for that. All of that needs to be brought under control by the state Water Resources Control Board. Those illegal, unpermitted excess withdrawals need to be found, identified, and eliminated. The state needs to impose a condition that is done on the Upper Sacramento River, for instance, that says that water released from storage for in-stream use has to remain in the river for in-stream use. You can't use it to suck it out for whatever you're growing or for whatever your cities want. That's a legal requirement that would help manage what the Lake Mendocino actually stores and reduce the demands on the Eel River for flows to make up for the abuses of the Russian River. And that's what's happening now. The Eel River is being used to mask and to subsidize the illegal, unpermitted, and dysfunctional flows that are diverted from the Russian. We want to make sure that that is brought to the State Board for Control, that is brought to the Sonoma County Water Agency for Control. The Russian River Keeper, for instance, is in perfect alignment with that. There's a lot of waste and abuse. And then we add on top of that water that can be saved by actual conservation and efficiency methods, both in agriculture as well as for municipal demand. And we think that if you take all of that together, you can actually manage the Russian River for fish survival and sustainability and for water supply and its reliability without depending on the Eel River.
So it sounds like we're on basically the same page in terms of the things that need to happen. That doesn't mean they're necessarily all that easy to make happen. I mean,
hell no.
those kinds of problems are, I think it's fair to say, endemic across California, and there's very little capacity in the state government to enforce on even the largest and most consequential illegal diverters. We've seen here in Humboldt that small-scale diversions just hardly even register for the agencies.
Yep.
And it's very hard to get action from an agency that's got so much on its plate already. If you're just tuning in, folks, this is the Eco News Report. My name's Scott Greeson. I'm director of Friends of the Eel River. I'm talking with David Keller, who's Friends of the Eel River's Bay Area director. And we're talking about flows in the Russian River and their connection to the Eel River and the proposal now on deck to reduce flows in the Russian River, which is open for public comment. And maybe we should talk a little bit about that process, David.
Sure. So the National Marine Fisheries Service Biological Opinion came out, and the Sonoma County Water Agency is required to revise the conditions, the amount of water that is the minimum in-stream requirements in the Russian River. The biological opinion wants to reduce that because those minimum in-stream flows are a condition on their water rights set by the State Water Resources Control Board. The water agency has to apply, actually has applied to the State Water Resources Control Board, that's within the Department of Water Resources, to reduce those flows. So they are in the process of working their way through an environmental impact report under California environmental law, CEQA. So there is a draft environmental impact report that has been released. Comments are due on that to the Sonoma County Water Agency by Valentine's Day next year, or February 14th. All of that will then go back to the water agency. They've got to respond to the comments and adjust or modify or confirm what they've done in their EIR. Then that EIR, when it's finally certified as a complete final document, will be submitted to the State Water Resources Control Board as a component of the water agency's application to the State Water Board to revise Decision 1610, the minimum in-stream flows in the Russian River. When that application is complete, the State Water Resources Control Board will hold a series of hearings on what those numbers should be and how it should be implemented and any conditions on that and that would apply and be required of the water agency in management of Lake Mendocino and management of their releases. And the State Water Board will take, it's going to be several years of public hearings and comment to the state in Sacramento until they finally come up with their requirement for revising the minimum in-stream flows in the Russian River. That process in 1986, when they came up with Decision 1610, I believe there were something like 15 or 17 public hearings. It took, I think it was 3 or 4 years to actually go through that process. And at the end of this multi-year process, the state board will determine what happens in flows on the Russian River. We, of course, want them to be able to say, you can do this without the Eel River input inflows by remanaging how water rights on the Russian River are looked at and managed and controlled. It may be necessary for somebody to institute an adjudication process on the Russian River to get a rational picture of how much water is actually naturally falling in the watershed and how much is available for who to use.
Now, back up a second and just explain for a moment what this idea of adjudication means and what's involved in carrying that out.
Okay. Adjudication in California and in other states means that there is a complaint by a water rights holder or beneficiary in the watershed that says, hey, wait a second, there's too much craziness going on in terms of who is taking how much water out of the system. And as water rights holders, we're not getting our share or we're not getting our share consistently. And we want you to go through every water rights holder, every permit and license in the watershed, look at how much water is actually available in the watershed and what time of year it's available, and come up with a remanagement of all those water rights to divvy it up so that everybody gets their proportionate share. And that's both in terms of quantity as well as when in the year they can take water.
So let me try to summarize that.
Yeah.
The idea is that when there's excessive demand, too many water rights, in scare quotes, versus not enough actual water, an affected party can appeal for adjudication. Now, do they go to the courts or do they go to the State Water Board for that?
They go to the State Water Board, would then be in the position of assigning a water master, and that water master would then supervise the process of collecting all the data, all the permits, licenses, water rights, coming up with a rational solution so that all existing water rights can get some share of their water without bankrupting the system. And as importantly, and this is important for us on the fisheries side, the public trust, which includes fisheries and recreation, has to be a part of that adjudication. In other words, you can't take all the water from the river and leave nothing for fish and in-stream use, and everything depends on that, including recreation. So a certain amount of the natural input to the watershed has to be reserved for public trust uses, and that becomes part of the calculation for how much water is left for everybody else.
Right. So it seems fairly obvious to me that an adjudication process on a watershed as densely inhabited and heavily used as the Russian is going to be both a complex and time-consuming and necessarily expensive process. That explains in part why it hasn't been done yet, but are there any other reasons that it hasn't been done heretofore?
Well, a lot of people would have their oxes gored, and so there's a huge resistance to actually rationalizing the system through adjudication, because there are a number of water users who know they're going to be cut.
Right.
And when you've got free water, you don't want to give it up.
Right.
So, yeah, the politics and the time and the expense and the resistance to what's going to happen if you actually try to put the system back in place is immense. It's a 10-15 year process. Our feeling has been it should have started 20 years ago. It'd be over by now.
Right.
But partially what we're looking at is the symptoms of an abused watershed, the Russian River watershed, and then using the Eel River to mop it up.
Right. So beyond asking for a solution to the Russian River's flow problems that doesn't involve using the Eel River's water as, you know, a convenient Band-Aid, what is it that we at Friends of the Eel River are looking for from this Russian River flow decision?
Our intent at this point is to help the water agency and the state board understand that they really have to get the Russian River to be able to stand on its own 2 feet. It can't be nursed along by robbing the Eel River. The Eel River needs that water. It needs it seasonally, needs a habitat, needs to get rid of a couple of dams that are currently owned by PG&E. In order to do that, the State Water Board needs to be convinced that Russian River water desires or needs, as well as the politics of doing that, can be resolved through their process. They're going to take a lot of heat. The State Water Board, as good as it is still a political animal. The appointments are made by the governor. So everybody does know, you know, looking over their shoulder, what's the politics of trying to get the Russian River in place without the Eel River. Our job is to provide them with the data and convincing arguments that, in fact, the current scheme is totally unworkable.
So if folks want to comment on the Russian River flow scheme, we have a template letter and comments up on the Friends of the Eel River website at eelriver.org. Again, David, you said the comments are open until Valentine's Day of 2017, but it's worth doing it now.
Yep. So there are actually two aspects of that. One is to have a legal standing at the State Water Board as these hearings start. There's a short template letter that you can send in that'll get you that place, and that's due at the State Water Board by February 14th. Comments on the Sonoma County Water Agency's draft EIR on reducing the flows are also due on February 14th. That document is available on the Sonoma County Water Agency's website. If you were to search for Sonoma County Water Agency plus Russian River EIR or draft EIR, you will get to the link to those documents. There are several thousand pages, so what I recommend strongly is for people to look at areas that are of interest to them. Management of Lake Mendocino is a key piece. Demand reduction downstream would be a key piece. Take a look at that. Pick an area that is of interest to you. Go through that section and provide comments to Sonoma County Water Agency on the draft EIR and all that information on where to send the comments. And the due date is February 14th again. Would be very helpful. The more they hear from Eel River interest, the better. The Eel River is considered to be some foreign turf in Sonoma County that we don't have to pay attention to, and our job is to make them pay attention.
This has been the EcoNews Report. My name's Scott Greeson. I've been your host for the past half hour. My guest today was David Keller, my colleague at Friends of the Eel River. And you can find more information about this subject, again, on Friends of the Eel River's webpage at eelriver.org. If you'd like to replay this interview or share it with others, you can go to the Public Affairs page on the KHSU website at khsu.org, where these programs are archived for 2 weeks after they air. Previous shows are posted on the North Coast Environmental Center's website at yournec.org. If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call KHSU's listener comment line at 826-6089. The EcoNews Report is produced for KHSU at Humboldt State University in cooperation with the North Coast Environmental Center. And many thanks to Fred McLaughlin for engineering. Join us again for the next EcoNews Report.